everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thank you so much for listening. And I am recording this program on Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. I love this holiday. Now, today, I have an outstanding, wonderful program for you. It's all about finding love in the digital age. Now, online dating has lost much of its stigma, and a majority of Americans actually now say online dating is a great way to meet people. In fact, a Pew Research survey showed that the number of millennials using dating sites and apps has actually tripled in the last few years. And personally, I know you've heard from me a lot. I'm a huge advocate of online dating. I think it's a great way to meet that someone special if you're busy, have children, or you just want to expand your pool of potential eligibles. So my guest today is Julie Spira, also known as the cyber dating expert. Now, Julie's an award-winning dating coach and the author of the best-selling book, The Perils of Cyber Dating, Confessions of a Hopeful Romantic Looking for Love Online. She is the go-to person for online dating and mobile dating advice. She also is a frequent guest in the media, having appeared in over 1,500 news stories. And listeners, honestly, I am a huge fan of Julie's, and her website is cyberdatingexpert.com. So welcome to the program, Julie. Happy Valentine's Day.
Hi, Terry. Thank you for having me, and happy Valentine's week. I mean, this is something that I love so much that I celebrate all week. And when you think about it, you know, Tuesday was Galentine's Day for girlfriends to hang out with their single girlfriends and enjoy their the day. Today, of course, is Valentine's Day. Some love it, some do not. We both do. And of course, tomorrow is Singles Awareness Day. So I think we've got you covered all week.
All week. And you know, I always say, Julie, and I know I think you do too, that Valentine's Day is a day to recognize all the important people in your life. So it doesn't have to be a day only for romantic couples. I can send a card to my daughter. I can tell my mom that I really care about her. And I have friends who I give candy to and text and say, Happy Valentine's Day.
And, you know, it's interesting. I got a Valentine's Day card from my parents, and of course, I sent them one as well. I have male platonic friends that send me Valentine's cards just as showing, you know, affectionate friendship, of course, without the benefits. And it's right. It's really a friendship day of really loving everyone in your life that's important to you.
Exactly. And love can come in many different ways, shapes, and forms. I agree with you. I know. And it's a week for me, too. It's like, wow. I mean, I have to like calm down. I get so excited about this week. Now, before we get started on the topic today, I know that you've been a pioneer in the internet industry. Tell us how you became the cyber dating expert.
That's a great question. And so let's take the way back clock. You know what those way back clocks are? They show you what your website looked like 10 years ago. Well, I actually was a technology executive 25 years ago to 30 years ago. And I found myself single, the love of my life, and I broke up. I wanted to get married. He did not, or he wasn't ready. He asked me for a 5-year extension, and I didn't really kind of like that.
A 5-year extension, right?
Married in 5 years. And I'm like, well, how do I know in 5 years you won't ask for another 5-year lease extension of our romance? So I broke up with him and I said, I'm going to take matters into my own hands and I'm going to go online and I'm going to replace him with a new internet mate. Mm. Oh, and when I did that, we have to understand that those were the days of dial-up internet, chat rooms, a year before Match.com was launched, 6 years before eHarmony was launched, There was no iPhone. There was no Facebook. So we didn't have as many choices as we have right now. And we also didn't really have the ability to feel comfortable in telling people what our strategy was.
So you went online and started looking for love online. I think that is what's in your new book, The Perils of Cyber Dating, right? Your personal experiences, which I love.
Yeah, The Perils of Cyber Dating, people describe it as Sex in a City in a Web 2.0 world. So The Perils of Cyber Dating was really my romantic journey, the ups and the downs, the laughter and the joy, the heartbreak, all of it. I mean, I could be any girl, but I was just the girl who did it first. And it's really an opportunity for people to realize that they're not alone if they've had a bad date. They're not alone if they can't recognize a date. Or in my case, you know, one guy actually was married and pretended to be single. So I look at the book as an opportunity to have a gift to give to other women so they can look at it through a laughter and a little bit of wit from me, but sort of in a stage of don't give up, be a hopeful romantic, keep the process going, and you will find what now is your 1 in 40 million.
And I'm sure listeners are wondering, Julie, did it work? So personally, have you found love online?
Personally, I have and I have and I have.
I like that.
I have to say, you know, because I think it's really important to share personal stories. And the more authentic we can be, the more relatable we can be to all of you out there who are struggling and are deeply desiring love. And so, yes, the person I broke up with actually read the book a few years ago and found me after having maybe 15, 16, 17 years of no contact. We got back together. He found me through Facebook chat after reading the book. And we spent a few years together. I can say that I am very happily dating somebody now that I met on Match.com.
Wow. So in other words, in the book and giving advice in the media, you share your personal stories and so that people can feel like they're not alone. I'm always a huge advocate of that too, Julie, that otherwise people are going to have these myths and common sense notions about relationships that aren't true, about dating that isn't true. So that if we as relationship experts can share the ups and the downs, then when people experience them themselves, they'll know that it's typical and normal. So what are your favorite dating sites out there then?
I love that. It's like asking me what my favorite color is. I love them all.
Our favorite ice cream flavor, right?
Let's really break it down, because when it comes to dating online, and some are using web-based dating sites and some are using mobile dating apps, and some are using a combination of both. So there really is not one best dating site for all of you, because everyone's needs are a bit different. Somebody might just be coming out of a divorce and they haven't dated for 15 years. Someone might want to just be playing the field and having fun. There are people that actually are looking for sex and hookups. And then there are those that are looking for marriage or marriage with children or a long-term relationship. So depending upon what your goals are, and depending upon whether religion is important to you or politics is important to you, geography is important to you, that's how we hone down and decide at Cyber Dating Expert, which dating site do we want to put you on?
So let's say a listener is interested in the relationship goal of a committed long-term relationship. And, you know, I want to date someone close to me who's in my region, I don't know, 30, 40 miles away. What do you as a cyber dating expert recommend that I do then?
I recommend that everyone has at least three. They're using three dating sites or apps. And the reason I like that is because it casts a wide net. It allows you to have a location-based app such as Bumble or Hinge or, you know, Match.com and OkCupid have mobile versions, as do Plenty of Fish. So if you have a location-based app, you know that somebody's 14 miles away, 2 miles away. You can see where they are. I also believe in joining a site that has a lot of members. If you're looking at eHarmony and Match.com, those are the two top sites that are responsible for the most marriages in the country.
I like that. And I like the idea, and listeners really hear this, that Julie's suggesting that you go on at least 3 dating sites or apps. And that, I think, is really nice because, as you said, you just expand the field of eligible people. So the more people you have out there that you're connecting with, that you're seeing profiles, that you're seeing, you know, on apps, the better chance that you have to find that someone special. And I also say that, you know, there are those niche dating sites as well. So if you have a quality, like you said, a religion quality, pet people, an age that you want, for example, our time, you know, has people 50 and older. There are these sites that if you want one quality that everybody shares, then you can go on those online dating sites as well. Is that something that you talk about as well, Julie?
I do, because it really comes down to attitudes and values. Because you can be attracted to someone's photo, and maybe they had a great photographer, and maybe they photoshopped it a little bit, and they could be on paper, they could have on paper just about every single thing that matches yours. And if someone's mirroring your profile and they like sushi and you like sushi, and they like German Shepherd dogs and you like German Shepherd dogs, and they grew up in a certain town and you grew up 2 towns away, you may think this is your perfect match. But at the end of the day, if you meet that person and one is very religious and one is not, or one voted for Hillary Clinton and one voted for Donald Trump, it might not be compatible. So I think it's really important to state your intentions in your profile. If you say you're looking for a serious relationship or long-term relationship, say so. And if you're on a mobile app, then say, interested in a hookup, swipe left.
Right. Now, how about photos? Speaking of that, what advice do you give singles about how to pick the best profile pictures or photos to show?
Well, no group shots. We want to know who you are.
You'd be surprised, right, how many group shots are up there?
But there's 2 reasons I don't like group shots. One is it's a party shot, and it looks like, well, this person could be a party girl, and you know, maybe she likes to go out in the town and drink and kiss all the boys.
So speaking of photos, Julie, what advice do you give singles about how to pick the best profile photos?
It always comes down to the photos because both men and women are visual. And they have a split second to say, wow, that person's attractive. Not my type. So one of the biggest mistakes I see singles make is they post these group shots of all of their friends, and whether they're at a sporting event or whether they're just got champagne in their hands and they're partying at a birthday party, it is confusing to a man when he looks at these pictures because he doesn't know which girl he's going to have a date with.
So no group photos. Yes. And you'd be surprised, right? How many people post group photos, which I don't know who I'm looking at, right? Also, I always tell everyone that it should be a nice photo. So take some time and don't just do a selfie because people really do look at the photos, like you said, Julie.
They really do. And again, you brought up the selfie. I do not understand all these selfie photos where you don't look your best. And even the men, they love to do the picture without the shirt in the mirror in the bathroom.
So true. I see that all the time. So no selfies and no photos without your shirt on. I agree. You know, what do you tell people? Because I always get this question about whether or not you should put a pet in the photo.
I was just going to bring that up. If you have an opportunity to have more than 5 photos, put your pet as the 6th through 10th photo. Because if you're a dog lover and your significant other, soon to be, you know, the person you're going on a date with, also has pets and loves pets, then it's a really great opportunity to picture a picture of you and your dog and just say the name of your dog within a caption, if it's like on Match.com or in the bio about you. So just say, I have a beautiful rescue dog named Scruffy, and he's the sweetest dog you'll ever meet. So the fact is, if somebody else is allergic to dogs or cats, they know that they can't have a serious relationship with you. But pets really can bring people together. Like you said earlier, there are dating sites for pets. So I happen to be a fan of dogs, except in the primary photo. Men tend to make this mistake more than women. They post a primary photo holding their dog. And that message to us gals is basically, oh, his dog sleeps in bed with him every night.
Yes, I was going to say that too. That's immediately what I thought. Or like, wow, how am I going to get in between those two?
Exactly. So you're going to have a threesome in bed with a puppy dog. So please don't post the primary shot with the dog. It really needs to be just you, a headshot, smiling, no sunglasses. You want to see those beautiful eyes so you're not hiding anything. And just look happy and confident, because confidence is the ultimate attraction.
Yes, I like that. And speaking of the bio as well, or the essay, I tell people that it should be short, sweet, and really describe you. Not too long. And a lot of women tend to write paragraphs after paragraphs after paragraphs. What kind of advice do you give people?
I say, leave the novel at home.
Yeah, I like that. That was short and sweet too. I love it.
When a man looks at your profile and he's attracted to your photos and he sees, as you say, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 paragraphs, 500 words, he just is going to get exhausted after the first sentence and move on to a shorter, more concise profile. So what we do when we write profiles here is we have sort of a sweet spot of about 100 to 125 words.
I like that. That's specific. I love it. And do you tell people about writing with the emotional words, or, you know, exclamation points, and trying to be energetic in this bio or description?
I love exclamation points, providing you only put one in your profile. The person that adds 3 exclamation points, it starts to get sort of corny and actually looks a little immature. So the hearts and the emoticons and all those fun things that you might be texting each other, that's very different than your profile. Because if you think about your LinkedIn profile, when you're looking for your dream job, you're not going to be putting 3 exclamation marks at the end of this enthusiastic job you had when you're trying to attract an employer.
Very good, helpful advice. Now, I get this question, Julie, all the time. Is online dating safe, right? Because I think the media hypes up the, you know, few circumstances where things don't work out, and things might not work out even in face-to-face or meeting somebody at a party. But what do you say to clients, or what kinds of tips do you give to clients regarding online dating safety?
Safety is a real big hot button for me. And maybe it's because I wrote The Perils of Cyber Dating, and maybe it's because I'm a woman, and maybe it's because I want everybody to date safely. And I can tell you that the sites take dating safety very seriously, because they make it very easy for you to report a suspicious profile. So the things that are important are making sure that you meet somebody in a public place, not late at night. These 10 p.m. dates that go into drinks and end up in somebody at somebody's home is going to be something that you will regret the next day. So meet somebody for lunch, for happy hour, for coffee, casual. And let a friend know where you're meeting. The other thing that's very important is if somebody's writing to you and they're from out of the country, or they're in the military, or they just have no opportunity to meet you and they never even hop on a phone to talk to you, and then the next thing you know, they have a financial problem, some relative is sick and they need a couple $1,000s, report that profile. Again, they aren't as frequent as, you know, the majority, over 90% of the people are looking for what we all are. That is finding a connection, finding love.
I like those tips, and especially the notion that if you do see or you communicate with someone where you don't feel comfortable or where you don't think that something is right, report it. These online dating sites and apps have people who are there for you and who take all of these things very seriously. And safety is an issue. Definitely. I like that. Now, what advice do you say in terms of, you know, when to know if I should meet somebody? So, you know, I'm communicating, I'm going back and forth with this person online. How do I know if I should meet them face to face?
Sooner rather than later. We have to keep in mind that when you're chatting with somebody online, whether it's online or whether it's on a mobile app and you're messaging, they are communicating with several others as well. So the sooner that you can keep that momentum going and have an opportunity to, what I do is believe in a phone date prior to meeting in person. Mm-hmm. So chit chat back and forth. If you can meet this person within the first week, if not the second week, then you have an opportunity for maybe something to click. And the phone calls, the reason I love them, Terry, is because if you can't hold a conversation with somebody for 10 or 20 minutes and you feel like you're sitting in a dentist chair pulling teeth, then I promise you, you are going to have a bad date. So communication is such a big, important part of love. And that means online, offline, in person, and of course, hearing someone's voice.
And I love that. I'm totally pro phone before you meet them face to face too, Julie, because sometimes there are things about a voice, about, you know, the tone, the pitch, all that nonverbal communication stuff that you can't get online. You can tell by talking to them as well. So have a conversation. And like you said, I love it. If you can't talk to them for 10 minutes on the phone, that says something. How are you going to talk to them in person for a few hours? So absolutely go from online to the phone and then face to face. I mean, I have to share a personal story about my daughter. She was doing online dating and she was very interested in this guy. And then they went on the phone and she said, "Mom, I can't stand his voice. I literally cannot stand his voice." And so I said, "That's why you go to the phone, right?"
Right, exactly. And again, people are nervous on the phone, so don't put so much pressure on someone and keep your phone conversations really light. Don't ask them, "Hey, so tell me, how long have you been on the site?" Or, "Gee, how many bad days did you have?" Nobody wants to hear that. We want to hear a positive, happy person who only is interested in learning about you.
Absolutely. And that brings up a good point about staying positive and staying optimistic. No one wants to hear about your woes if you're getting divorced or your previous relationship and why it broke up. Try to remain as positive and optimistic and as hopeful as possible. Now, we only have a few minutes left, Julie. Help us understand, or what advice do you give to people where you're just not feeling it? So you're either communicating online or in person, and you don't think it's working. What should you do?
I can tell you what you shouldn't do, and you shouldn't ghost them. But most people do, and especially millennials. You know, they have a very high percentage of millennials that feel like ghosting is actually acceptable. They've either been on the receiving end or they've just said, "I'm going to fade out and ghost." So if you're dating somebody and you've already met them and you realize that it's not a fit, then it's important to, you know, say to them something like, "I've really enjoyed meeting you and getting to know you, but I just don't think that we have enough in common to develop a long-term relationship. I wish you all the best." You want someone to think about you positively because you never know. They might have a best friend they could introduce you to if they think that you're a quality person. And if you're dating online and you're chit-chatting and you just sort of come to a complete halt, be honest with the person and just say, "Thank you so much for your interest. I'm dating several people right now, and I just want to see, you know, where that goes before I, you know, get it more complicated."
I love it. So be honest. Don't ghost them. Be genuine.
And the interesting thing about being honest and genuine is, believe it or not, when somebody gets a rejection from someone that is actually kind, they come back and they say, "Thank you." These most people don't write back. They fade away. And I can't tell you how many guys have written back to the women when I've said, "This is how I want you to handle it." And they say, "Thank you so much for being honest with me. I wish you all the best too. You're a terrific person. Sorry it didn't work out."
I like that, Julie. So honesty is appreciated, and we all appreciate that honesty. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Julie. What great information. I could definitely talk to you for hours.
I know we could. Isn't this fun?
I know. It's so fun. It's so fun. And listeners, if you want to connect with Julie Spira, the cyber dating expert, please go to her website, which is cyberdatingexpert.com. And when you visit her website, you can sign up for the free weekly flirt newsletter and follow her at Julie Spira on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And remember her great book called The Perils of Cyber Dating. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is drterrythelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand and implement into your life. I also have a new video online dating course that's called How to Find Love in 7 Days. So if you're interested in finding the right person for you, check it out on my website under courses. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.